Hello and welcome to It Is Written Canada. Thank you for joining us. Are you healthy? According to Statistics Canada, 60% of Canadians rate their general health as very good or excellent. Yet Health Canada identifies Canada's persistently high prevalence of preventable chronic risk factors, things such as smoking, vaping, physical inactivity, unhealthy eating, and the use of alcohol, and even the misuse of pharmaceutical medications.
Despite the fact that most Canadians rate themselves as being very healthy, major chronic diseases are on the rise in Canada. Cardiovascular diseases, cancer, chronic respiratory diseases, and diabetes are the cause of 65% of all deaths in Canada each year and are the leading causes of death globally. In addition, depression and anxiety disorders are respectively the second and eighth leading causes of years of life loss due to disability globally.
Physical inactivity, sedentary behaviors, and obesity rates remain high, especially among children and youth. In fact, more than 90% of Canadian children are not meeting current physical activity guidelines in Canada. And Canada ranks amongst the worst for adult obesity rates among the most economically developed countries in the world.
With us on It Is Written Canada to help us answer this question is Dr. George Cho. Dr. Cho is a licensed naturopathic doctor who is the lead clinician at the non-profit Paradise Health Clinic in Newmarket, Ontario. Dr. George Cho focuses on treating chronic health conditions using lifestyle medicine, fitness assessments, and athletic performance. He has experience with fitness testing at the NHL, with the Toronto Professional Football Club, and firefighters and police officers. Dr. Cho is a member of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine and the Canadian Society for Exercise Physiology. His practice focus is on lifestyle medicine.
Dr. George Cho, welcome to It Is Written Canada.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
So we're talking about, are you healthy? It seems like a question that a person can answer themselves pretty easily, and yet perhaps it's not that easy to answer.
I think people assume that because they don't have any symptoms, that they're healthy. But now we know that chronic diseases, they take years and sometimes even decades, like with cancer and Alzheimer's disease, to fully mature before symptoms even manifest themselves. So basically you have this latent period where you have this disease process happening, but it's at a level where symptoms don't manifest, right? But then it hits. But oftentimes, like in Alzheimer's and cancer, it's often too late, right? Like you pick it up late in the game. So even heart disease takes years and years to manifest without any symptoms showing up. So we cannot, so people might assume that they're healthy, but internally, it might not be the case, yeah.
So some of this for some people could have started like when they were quite young and they didn't even realize it and they were practicing, you know, health practices that were really detrimental to their health and they thought, oh, I don't feel it, and so.
Correct, like studies have shown that teenagers, many teenagers are already developing, most already have fatty streaks in their arteries. So they got like fat buildup in their arteries. And many of them actually already have plaque in their arteries. But it's just not at a level where it's gonna manifest as like a heart attack, right? Or even chest pain. But it's forming, right? So, and that's because of unhealthy lifestyle behaviors, right? So like, are you healthy? Well, you don't have symptoms, but doesn't mean that you're healthy, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dr. George, what is happening inside the body that is silently causing these diseases?
So now we know that the process of inflammation is really what's driving so many of our chronic diseases. So it's called chronic inflammation, or sometimes they say it's subacute inflammation, or They say it's subclinical inflammation. But basically what it means is that it's chronic, so it's happening over many years, for a long time. It's subclinical. What that means is basically there's no real lab test that's gonna be able to really pick it up. Now, there are lab tests for inflammation that hospitals and could utilize, but it doesn't really pick up like this low-grade inflammation that's happening in the body. But what we do know now is that there's this low level of inflammation that's happening over years, breaking down basically the body systems, which then eventually manifests as a full-blown disease. It's like having a small fire somewhere in the house, and maybe you don't pick it up or something, and just slowly starts to degrade things, and then it manifests. You know, so people right now basically what they're thinking is, okay, I don't have this big fire, but it's not the big fire that's really causing most of our chronic health issues. It's this low fire, it's this low level inflammation that's happening in the body. And again, there's no real, at least right now, there's no real blood test or marker, at least available to the public, that we can use to basically say, all right, you have this, and we've detected subclinical inflammation. Like, there's no real thing for that right now.
So there's no real test for it. But tell us about inflammation. Why is inflammation, or the marker of an inflammation in your body, why is that important?
Inflammation is basically your immune system's being activated, right? So in one sense, inflammation is actually important for you. Like for your body to heal, you actually need inflammation. It just means your body, your immune system's being activated. But the thing is that when your immune system deals with a problem, it should kind of level off, right? But that's not what's happening, you see? So you got this constant activation of the immune system it's like dysregulated. So that's the problem. It's like, and it causes collateral damage. It's kind of like if you have if there's a robbery, then the cops come and they deal with it, then they should kind of go back. But if the cops are constantly just keep on shooting things, like that's not good, right? So it's gonna cause collateral damage. And then eventually society starts to crumble, right? So in the same way, like your immune system, we don't want it to shut off, obviously, but it should kind of like tone down, but that's not what's happening. But it's at a very low level, so we don't really detect it. So that's the problem.
So the alarm is on, it's constant, and it just keeps going.
It keeps on going.
And it doesn't stop. So if you can't measure that, and you can't actually, you know, see that there's inflammation in certain areas, then what can be done?
So that's the thing. So until the scientific research picks up on reliable markers for subclinical inflammation, we have to rely on the things that drive inflammation. And now the scientific evidence is extremely clear that it's really our lifestyle habits that really push chronic inflammation. So right now what people have to do is they have to focus on living as healthy a lifestyle as you can. And so that'll help address the root cause of inflammation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dr. George, can you give us some lifestyle changes that people can implement to reduce the chronic inflammation?
Yeah, so there's many. So number one would be like social connections. So scientific evidence now has shown that loneliness can put you in an inflammatory state, right? So we want to encourage people to have strong social connections, right? With their family and friends, not isolate yourselves, not being so much on social media, things like that. So social connections can help reduce inflammation. Loneliness, isolation can actually help increase inflammation. So strong social connections are really important, especially for the younger generation who tends to be more engaged in isolated behaviors these days. So I think that's important. That's number one. Another one would be something like exercise. So exercise over time leads to immune modulation. So basically, it actually puts the body in an anti-inflammatory state, right? So your immune system becomes more balanced with exercise. So exercise like 150 minutes per week on moderate to vigorous cardio. So that's enough to cause some deeper breathing, a little bit of sweating, and then The Canadian guidelines recommends about 2 days per week of resistance training, so lifting weights, right? So something like that is gonna really help keep the immune system kind of in balance, in check.
That's very interesting, because some people would say, you know, when I exercise, I can feel the inflammation. I can feel, you know, that there's this lactic acid buildup. And so you're saying that this is something that's normal, but if you continue to exercise, that eventually that will dissipate and actually level things off.
Right, that's why I said that chronically over time, yeah. So the adaptation to your body. So like initially there might be some inflammation that's happening, but then the body repairs and it adapts. And over time, it's gonna put your body actually in an anti-inflammatory state.
Right. So it seems like your body was designed to move.
Correct, exactly. So another thing would be dietary habits. So eating an anti-inflammatory type of diet. So minimizing processed food, especially refined sugars, right? Sugar sweetened beverages. These things are not good. Also eating a more plant-based whole foods diet. So emphasizing whole grains, legumes, so these are beans, peas, lentils, things like that. Nuts and seeds, fruits, vegetables, those types of things. So eating more whole foods, plant-based diet, not so much on the animal products, like meat and dairy, these types of things. So you wanna eat a whole foods, plant-based diet in a minimally processed form as best you can, avoiding processed food. This also helps put your body in a more immune-regulated state. Yeah, there's some other things that people might not really think about that actually science has shown to be beneficial. Things like even just being in nature. They found that like forest bathing, for example. So that's basically you're just in the forest, in the woods. That can actually put your kind of an anti-inflammatory effect on the body. I believe that we've been designed to be in contact with nature. And the more closely we get to that, I think the better it is for our immune system.
So when you say forest bathing, you're not saying you should get into a river.
No.
So you should just be bathing in the sense that you're in the environment of nature.
Correct.
Where you get so all that oxygen.
Spending time in like a conservation area with a lot of trees. People have to realize like trees, they give off what we call phytochemicals or plant chemicals. So trees are releasing these things. And basically, when you breathe them in, it actually has a very positive effect on your body for the most part. So when you're in the middle of the forest, you're breathing in all these nice chemicals that the plants are giving off, and it actually has a very good effect on the body. So yeah. Being in nature is really important.
That's fascinating.
That's interesting. I was thinking more about being out in nature. You're getting sunlight.
Oh, correct.
And fresh air. But right, now you mentioned about the gift that we get from plants with the phytochemicals.
Phytochemicals, yeah. Also, yeah, I think sunlight is important as well. The vitamin D that the body produces from the effects of sunlight. Vitamin D is an immunomodulator. So it modulates the immune system. So especially here in Canada where, we don't get as much sun. And so, getting out... Getting sunlight is really important as well. Yeah. And of course, you know, avoiding alcohol. Alcohol causes direct damage to the gut lining. So you're in your intestines, you have basically like a wall. And when the wall becomes leaky, we call it a leaky gut, then stuff gets through the wall and into the body. And then your immune system picks it up. It's like an enemy that's coming in. And basically then the immune system gets activated and it starts basically there's a battle going on. So you want the wall, your gut line to be very tight so nothing gets through. Mm. If it gets leaky, then stuff gets through, then you got a problem, like I said. Well, alcohol actually causes leaky gut, right? So we know that alcohol causes other problems in the body, but when it comes to inflammation, because it's toxic to the gut lining, it can cause leaky gut, which then triggers a set of this pathway of events that causes your immune system to be constantly activated, which is basically chronic inflammation. So like avoiding alcohol would be another thing. And of course, you know, cigarettes, things like that, you want to avoid those things. But the point is like these healthy lifestyle behaviors is really our best chance at keeping the inflammation in our body in check. And that's really our only guarantee, to be honest, that we are living healthy, yeah.
Dr. George, what about sleep?
Yeah, the studies show that even one night of sleep deprivation can be immunosuppressive. So like less than like 6 hours of sleep or so can suppress the immune system. There's no set amount of sleep that you need, but they say about 7 to 9 hours. I say that when you wake up, then you should feel refreshed. You know, that's how you know you got enough sleep. And of course, it's good to sleep as early as you can, right? But you're right, so sleep deprivation, which is something that that's common in our society, that also can promote this immune dysregulation in the body. Yeah.
So it's important that we get a good night's sleep. What about caffeinated beverages? Because they tend to, you know, stimulate and keep a person awake.
Correct. Yeah. So if caffeinated beverages is affecting someone's sleep, disrupting their sleep, which it can. Then of course that's not good for what we're talking about, the immune system. So absolutely, my recommendation to patients is really to try to cut caffeinated beverages as much as you can. You really shouldn't need them, and it creates a dependency as well for many people, which is not a healthy thing for you. So, yeah.
So what about a person who may be listening to this, viewing this and thinking, well, it's too late for me, I've already got chronic disease. Is it really too late for anyone in that condition?
Mm-hmm. It's not too late. So studies have shown that the same lifestyle patterns that can help prevent disease can also help treat disease. So studies have shown that type 2 diabetes, for example, can in many cases be reversed by switching your lifestyle, particularly switching your diet. Same with heart disease. Heart disease, they thought for many years that you couldn't reverse it, but now we know that you can through adopting a plant-based diet, exercising, smoking cessation, stress reduction, things like that.
That's really good news.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Obesity as well, which is an inflammatory state, can also be, you know, people can lose weight by switching your lifestyle. So I would tell people that, don't be discouraged if you have a chronic condition right now. You have to just start working to change your lifestyle, and then the body has an amazing ability to heal itself, you know. So we've seen it at the clinic. It's not a guarantee, obviously, right? And there's some conditions that are harder than others. For example, Alzheimer's is pretty difficult. Same with cancer as well. It might be a little bit more harder, but it's never too late to adopt a healthy lifestyle. So, yeah.
And to have people around you to support you through those things. You had mentioned alcohol earlier. We're going to talk about that next week. That's a big one, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You need support. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But Dr. George, change is so difficult. It's not easy, and sometimes it can be so daunting and so overwhelming to people because now they have to start exercising, they need to reduce caffeine, they need to get enough sleep, they need to go out in nature. And so, you know, all of this is daunting and overwhelming, and so change is difficult. Is there something that you can maybe suggest just to make it possible and for people not to feel too discouraged and too overwhelmed with everything that they need to do?
Mm-hmm. So first I'll start by saying that, you know, living with disease is difficult and living a healthy lifestyle is difficult. So people will think that it's one, like that living a healthy lifestyle is hard and the other side is easy. No, it's not. So you can choose the difficult path of living a healthy lifestyle, or you can choose the difficult path of living with a chronic disease. Number two we talked about a lot of different things. So what I would say is I tell patients, first begin with the diet. I believe that that the biggest impact can be made really through diet. So we start with the diet first. So switching to a plant-based diet, you know, moving towards that direction, right? Then start integrating these other things like exercise, which would probably be number two. Then start incorporating the other things. Take it step by step. However, I would say that don't make, some people, just making very small changes here and there. To be honest, I don't think that's really the best either. You wanna like make as big of a change as you can because you see results more quickly, and that's gonna be motivation for you. But again, you don't have to do everything all at once. That wouldn't be the right approach. Yeah, so diet number one, exercise number two, then start to go from there. Yeah.
Thank you. That's very helpful, Dr. George. Yeah.
So where does faith come into this? You know, your faith in God is important to you. Is that very helpful, especially when it comes to making these changes? Mm-hmm.
So studies do show that people who have what they call like religious involvement or like spiritual practices, things like that. So people who engage in those types of behaviors, they tend to drink less, they tend to smoke less, do less drugs, they tend to be able to manage stress better, these types of things. And all those things can help the immune system. So in that way, you can see how really faith practices can be beneficial for the immune system. So that's one thing. Now you asked about how faith can help you with making changes. So yeah, I believe that, you know, that humans are naturally, we're very weak. And I believe that God helps us to have the strength, to give us the strength to make these changes. So when we're feeling weak, we can look up to God for the strength we need to make dietary changes and so forth. So so absolutely, I do encourage my patients as much as possible to pray, to seek God for help, right? Yeah, and also many faith practices, like for example, Christianity and the Bible has good sets of lifestyle principles, health principles that when followed, help reduce the risk of chronic diseases, like what we've been talking about, right? So I think faith is an important part, has an important role in all this, yeah.
And the biggest thing that's open to all of us is really experience. You know, the Bible says that if you taste and see that the Lord is good and test me, right? And see that I am good. And, you know, if you seek me, you will find me if you search with all your heart. What about the church? What can the church do to help people to be there for them?
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to health, like the Bible has a lot of good things to say, right? And the church needs to promote that more, kind of be more open about it. So the Bible talks about how the original diet was a plant-based diet. Now, scientific evidence is aligning itself with that. So there's nothing to be ashamed about. We need to be promoting that to people. The Bible says, gives a lot of warnings about the use of alcohol, right? And just the various ways to manage stress, the benefits of forgiveness and these types of things. So the church needs to be educating its members and also the public through different means, like with the organization that I'm involved in, we do things like Lunch with a Doctor, where we invite the public to come, we provide them a healthy meal, and we do a health talk on these various lifestyle principles, right? So there's that, cooking classes, programs like this, literature, sharing literature that talks about biblical health principles, and also just partnering with people like on their health journey, being there to support them. And also we do like a health retreat as well. It's called One Week in Paradise, where we immerse people in a healthy lifestyle for 1 week. So there's different things that the church can do, but what I believe that the church needs to be a little bit more open about these health principles, a little bit more bold, because society really needs it. And if there's anyone who should be interested in health, it should be Christians. Jesus was very much interested in people's health. The main thing that he did when he was on earth was to heal people. So clearly he had an interest in the health of people, and so we need to do the same as well, right? God wants us to be healthy. So
thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Cho. We've come to the end of our program. Are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share with us before we pray?
So what I'll tell people is that don't assume that you're doing okay just because you don't have symptoms. Even when the doctor tells you that you're healthy, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're healthy, because lab tests don't pick up on everything and symptoms often arrive late. So basically, you have to live a healthy lifestyle. That is your one, again, might not even be a guarantee, but it's your best chance at living a healthy lifestyle, preventing these chronic diseases that's plaguing so much of society. Yeah.
So Dr. Cho, thank you so much for sharing with us. I wonder if you could pray for our viewers. There might be someone who's saying, hey, this is great information. Pray that they get the right kind of information that they need and that they can, they're inspired really to do this, so they're motivated, but most of all that they can apply it, because that's the biggest thing, right? We have the information, inspiration, then application to be able to apply all of this. Mm-hmm. So can you pray for that right now?
Sure, sure. Father God in heaven, we want to pray for those who are listening to this and wanting to make changes in their life. Strength comes from you. You made our bodies. And so we want to ask that you strengthen all those who are making a decision today to make a change in their lifestyle, that you would help them navigate the different challenges that may arise. I want to pray for those who are sick, listening to this talk. I want to ask, oh God, that you would bring healing to them as they make changes in their lifestyle as well. Pour your grace upon them, Lord. May they experience the health that you want for them. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. George, thank you so much for joining us on It Is Written Canada. We're looking forward to meeting with you again next week.
No problem.
As Dr. Cho shared with us, good health is not a matter of chance. Lifestyle is a choice, and it makes a difference.
Our free offer can help you to make those meaningful lifestyle changes towards experiencing optimal health. It's entitled 8 Secrets to Better Health.
8 Secrets to Better Health will show you how cutting-edge science has taken the guesswork out of living healthier and longer.
Before you go, we would like to thank all of you who have supported the Ministry of It Is Written Canada with your prayers and financial contributions. Without your support, this television ministry could not have reached so many people for so many decades.
Yes, thank you. And we would also like to invite you to follow us on Instagram and Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel and also listen to our podcasts. And if you go to our website, you can see our latest programs.
Friends, to be honest, Jesus is offering you health and life that is beyond our temporary existence, beyond our ongoing struggles with the pain, suffering, and sorrows of this life. We would like to recommend to you that you open the Bible, where it is recorded that Jesus himself found his assurance to defeat the devil through the word of his Father when he declared, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to watch a video of this podcast, please visit IIW.ca, or you can go to our IIW Canada YouTube channel and click on the Videos tab. Once again, thank you so much for listening.